I'm going to call the meeting to order. We have a full house tonight. Atkins, Benning, Davies, Elliott, Miller, Townsend, and Wade are all here. Do we have anyone in the public for anything that's not on the agenda would like to speak? Seeing no one, we'll go on to our first case, case number REZ26-005. I'm going to recuse myself being on the Oak Knoll Foundation Board, and Chad will take it from here.
Ann, do you want to take it from here?
Oh, yes, I do. I thought you were asking me to run the meeting for a minute. Okay, thank you. Okay, so this is rezoning for the property at 2041 North Dubuque Road. It's an application for rezoning about 17.8 acres of land from the mixed-use zone to low-density multifamily zone with a planned development overlay. Here's an aerial map of the property. Its address is off of North Dubuque Road, but it's on the corner of North Dubuque Road and Scott Boulevard. It's just to the west of the former ACT campus and Oak Knoll East, which we'll be referencing throughout this presentation. This is Oak Knoll's existing development in this area of town. Here's a zoning map. The property is currently zoned mixed use. There's mixed use to the north and further east. There's some community commercial further north. This is owned by the Iowa City School District, so it's zoned P1. In terms of background, this property was recently purchased by Christian Retirement Services. It was previously owned by the entity that is working on most of the redevelopment of the former ACT campus. And Oak Knoll purchased this because they'd like to expand their existing Oak Knoll East development. A planned development overlay is required in this situation since there are impacts to regulated sensitive features, which I'll get into. And I just wanted to remind the commission of some of the previous entitlements that came before your commission. One was a comprehensive plan amendment in 2025 that changed the land use designation in this area to mixed use, and a recent rezoning where this land was also rezoned to mixed use. Staff is currently reviewing a subdivision that includes this property and some of the surrounding properties, and the commission did review a preliminary plat several months ago for this area as well. Here are a few photographs of the property. And so now on to the zoning. So again, the current zoning is mixed use, which allows for a mix of residential and non-residential uses. The proposed zoning, which is OPD RM12, again, the OPD is needed due to impacts to sensitive features. The RM12 allows high-density single-family and low-density multifamily land uses. This is the same zoning designation that's applied to Oak Knoll East. There are several approval criteria for plan development overlays, which I will get into in a minute. First, I wanted to show the preliminary OPD plan and kind of point out the proposal. So here's North Dubuque Road. Here's Scott Boulevard. The proposal is one multifamily building, which is shown here in white. The parking, there's some surface parking behind the building to the east, and there's also some structured parking off some east access drives. There is a proposal to have an entrance parking and a drop-off location on the north side of the building. As you can see, too, there's several pedestrian trails throughout the site on the east and the south of the site that provide a connection to Oak Knoll East, which is located here. There's some open space proposed, which I'll show on the landscaping plan. There's amenity space and open space in the green areas identified here. And then landscaping, trees, and screening for the parking areas. The applicant does have some renderings of the proposed development, which they'll share shortly. In terms of the criteria, the first criteria is that the density and design is compatible with adjacent development. The maximum allowable density in the proposed zone is 15 dwelling units per net acre. The proposal is for 119 multifamily dwelling units and a 14-bed skilled nursing residence, and resulting in a density that is well below the maximum allowable. And again, in terms of adjacent development, this is the same zoning that is directly to the east at the Oak Knoll East campus. In terms of mass, scale, and general layout, again, it's one multifamily building. It's proposed to be three stories. There's parking provided behind the building for the most part. There's pedestrian connections throughout the site. The applicant is requesting an increase in the maximum allowable height from 35 feet to 45 feet due to topography and other constraints. There is open space provided on the site. Those areas that are kind of the provided amenity spaces for the residents, as well as areas that just will not be covered by buildings that will be open and undeveloped. In terms of traffic, the access to the site will be off of North Dubuque Road. No access will be from Scott Boulevard. Staff is recommending one condition related to this criteria, which is general compliance with the preliminary OPD plan in terms of where the building is placed, the site amenities, the trail connections, and the landscaping. The second criteria is that the development will not overburden existing streets and utilities. This is something that staff has been working with in relationship to the final plat application that we are currently reviewing. So stormwater is currently being reviewed with the final plat for the property. In terms of sanitary sewer, there were some conditions related to a flow study and upsizing the sewer line associated with the previous rezoning. Those will be addressed as part of the final plat for the property. Existing water lines will also need to be replaced to comply with city standards. So the final construction plans for the public streets and the infrastructure are currently being reviewed by engineering staff and are kind of corresponding with that final plat, that Kestrel Hill subdivision. In terms of rezoning conditions, staff is recommending to keep the condition that prior to issuance of any building permit, the property shall be subdivided. In addition, construction of public improvements along North Dubuque Road between North Scott Boulevard shall meet current city standards, and this is related to widening of the pavement, installing curb and gutter, and the storm sewer and intakes. The third criteria is that development will not adversely affect views, property values, and privacy. This aerial map kind of shows, again, the surrounding development. For the most part, the northern portion across North Dubuque Road remains undeveloped. There is the fire station here in the corner. The Iowa City Community School District is located here, and again, Oak Knoll East. So on this side of Scott Boulevard, you have kind of more institutional land uses and multifamily. The single-family residential to the west off of Hickory Heights Lane is separated by the North Scott Boulevard right-of-way, and then there is some commercial here up on the North Dodge Street. The fourth criteria is that this will not be have any impacts greater than any typical multifamily development in an RM12 zone. And this is where we'd like to discuss the building height waiver. They are requesting an increase to a maximum allowable height of 45 feet. The building will be three stories. And the additional height is being requested to accommodate existing site topography and the need to minimize extensive earthwork. Large portions of the subject property will remain free of buildings. Again, those areas that we looked at that are going to be open space, trails, landscaped areas. Also, the proposed building is set back significantly from both North Scott Boulevard and North Dubuque Road, well beyond what the minimum setback would be. Next are the impacts to the environmentally sensitive area. So this site has slopes, woodlands, and wetlands. The impacts to slopes and the woodlands is not what's triggering the OPD rezoning. It's the impacts to the wetlands. In terms of slopes, though, there is no impacts to protected slopes, and critical slopes will be impacted only 5%. They're retaining approximately 50% of the woodlands, and 20% is required to be retained. In terms of the woodlands, they are proposing to impact 100% of a 0.45-acre jurisdictional wetland. Mitigation will be required, and staff is recommending that this be a condition of the rezoning. The applicant has noted that preserving the wetland is impractical, and the wetland is highly degraded due to existing invasive species. Any meaningful restoration would be a challenge, and mainly due to the invasive species that exist within the wetland. Any removal of those would require impacting the wetland significantly as well. And there's also ongoing erosion within the stream bank that has resulted in trees kind of falling into the stream bank and some stabilization issues. So I just wanted to note, these are the sensitive areas plans which show the impacts to the slopes and the wetland. The wetland is shown in blue, so all of that would be impact. The dashed line or the construction limit line, so everything kind of within this area here would be impacted. The parcel to the south, for the most part, will remain completely untouched. And some of the area on the eastern side of the property, there are some trees in that location that they're hoping to maintain. I just wanted to note that when the commission reviewed the preliminary plat for this property, the proposal at that time was to have no impacts within this area. And so most of this was shown as a conservation easement area. That will change with the approval of this rezoning. The conservation easement would no longer be required for the wetland area, but would be applied to the area to the south. I think this is slopes. I'm having a hard time reading this, but this is showing the impacts to the slopes. Steep slopes and critical slopes. So staff is recommending approval of REZ 260005, which is an application to rezone 16.8 acres to OPD RM12, subject to four conditions. The first is general conformance with the preliminary OPD plan in terms of building placement, site amenities, trail and pedestrian connections, and the landscaping. The second criteria is that compensatory mitigation will be required at a ratio of 1:1 through the purchase of credits through a U.S. Army Corps of Engineers approved wetland mitigation bank. Prior to any issuance of a building permit for the property needs to go through the final platting process. And also, as part of that final platting process, the subdividers agreement will note that the required construction of public improvements in the North Dubuque Road right-of-way related to pavement width, curb and gutter, and storm sewer. At last night's City Council meeting, the City Council did set a public hearing for this item for their September 15th meeting. So upon recommendation by the Planning and Zoning Commission, this would go to City Council for first consideration on September 15th. With that, I'll turn it back to the chair.
Thanks, Ann. Any questions for staff from the commission?
I just had a couple quick clarifying questions. I get that the Oaknell East property is already zoned RM12, so it makes sense to zone it the same. But I'm curious if there's anything in the current MU zoning, mixed use zoning, that wouldn't be allowed that is with the RM12. With the OPD.
I think since they know they're proposing multifamily residential, it just makes more sense to have a multifamily zone. They had to go through the rezoning process regardless to get the OPD.
Yeah. But potentially it could have been a MU with an OPD?
I think it probably could have. The issue with the mixed-use zone for this property is there are maximum setback requirements. And it's the mixed-use zone is really kind of trying to create a more urban development pattern, mm-hmm. whereas with the Oaknell projects, it's kind of more of a campus environment. Having a 15-foot maximum setback along North Scott is a challenge just because of the topography there.
That makes sense. The other question I had was the staff report and what we're approving is a 45-foot maximum height, but the applicant's statement in the packet said it reaches up to 50 feet. Is that an issue?
Yeah, we discussed that with the applicant. They don't need a 50. They don't need it to be a maximum of 50 feet. Based on the elevations that they prepared now, it's more like 43, I want to say. So staff's recommendation was just to make it 45.
Okay, go ahead.
Can you, for folks that don't quite understand this, can you talk a little bit more about the topography and I think it, the successive earthwork? So can you just talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I think in terms of the wetland, the applicant is probably a better person to discuss the earthwork that needs to be done. I will say that if you've been out to that property, it seems kind of flat at the top, but to get to the top, it's extreme. It's kind of an extreme increase, especially from Scott Boulevard, and I think it drops off as you go further east. So there are challenges. For the most part, they're not going to be touching that one parcel to the south of that 17 acres. All of the grading and stuff is going to be for the building and also to incorporate some of those pedestrian trails that they want to add to provide a connection to their existing development.
Okay, thank you.
You mentioned the a requirement to subdivide the property prior to approval. Can you just explain that a little bit more?
This was a carryover from the previous rezoning. When I think the commission considered three separate rezonings for that kind of former Oaknell campus. And as part of all of those rezonings, one of the conditions was that they subdivide it. The idea was that this area has never been subdivided. There was never any contemplation of a street network, a block network, which is something that would be considered at a subdivision phase. So we wanted to make sure that a subdivision occurred, not only for that, but also for the infrastructure improvements that needed to be made related to sewer and water. Those types of improvements typically come through a subdivision process.
Okay.
So it's essentially carrying forward what was approved previously.
Got it. And will that subdivision be part of the final plat then?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And just a few questions. There was an existing proposal, I don't know how long it was, on the Oakdale East campus. There was going to be another building kind of along the ravine. Mm-hmm. Has that expired or is that still outstanding?
I think that may have expired. I think, Oaknell's. Steve can probably speak to that, but I think plans have changed.
Okay. Was that the one that was part of that whole Hickory Hollow?
It was.
As I recall, the going to do it.
I think what Commissioner Wade is referring to is there was an amendment to the OPD plan for the Oaknell East site to add another building. And looking at this, I'm not even sure where that building is going to be, but yeah, and that was approved, but that was several years ago. I think that probably has expired. Okay. Yeah.
And then question on the height variance. Is there anything that we have to call that out in the approval? I don't see that called out, or is that just allowed through?
It is on the preliminary OPD plan.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then is there anything that ties that height variance to the setback? And the reason I ask is because, as you pointed out, that does have quite a bit of elevation change from the road. And so with that height variance, if it goes to 45 feet, the closer it gets to the road, the more intrusive it gets mm-hmm. to the area versus currently it sounds like it's going to be significantly set back from Scott.
Yeah, that's part of the reason that we're recommending this condition here, that any development generally comply with building placement. Okay. So it could end up, the final development could end up a little bit closer to Scott, a little bit closer to North Dubuque Road. But the idea is that it wouldn't be that significant of a change
right.
to what is proposed there.
And it supports the assurance that,
yeah.
Okay, sounds great. Any other questions for staff?
You've both taken mine.
All right. Do the developers want to come up?
I'm Mark Siebold. I'm a principal architect with Shive Hattery here in Iowa City, working on the project with Steve Rowe, who's the executive director at Oaknall, and Nick Hatz, who's a civil engineer also with Shive Hattery. We have a brief presentation. I think it'll help flesh out a lot of the grade topography questions and why that building height is what it is and just how the building is placed on this site. But I would like to start out with thank you because, you know, we've been in front of you for a lot of different rezonings at ACT as well as at Pearson, this whole intersection at the corner of Interstate 80 and Dodge Street. There's a lot going on up here. So thank you for being patient with all of this as things morph and change, as new tenants come in or new landowners come in. It's been a really exciting process. We've been working with Oaknall and planning staff for over a year on this, just kind of making sure that we're selecting the right rezoning criteria, right OPD to be working with. And it is that change from MU. I'm glad you brought that up, Steve, because we were starting to run into a couple things with that mixed-use zoning that made the RM12 more appropriate, especially as it related to the existing campus. I'll just start referring to the presentation. You can see this is very similar to what Ann had earlier.
I need to share this quick.
Okay. This is just the existing conditions, and you can see the Oaknall campus there, and then the old Gayton Farm. That's essentially the property that we're talking about with the Iowa City Community School District north of there. Next slide is Oaknall East. These are the existing buildings that are there. This had a similar height and topography challenge where we were really kind of falling off very quickly. So where it's a three-story building, it's that underbuilding parking that started to be exposed. And again, we've wrapped that with like limestone finish. And that is kind of facing that Scott Boulevard elevation where it starts to drop off. And again, we're pushed back fairly far away from that site. But the architecture here is really what made campus. You can see those kind of angled buildings as they kind of, you know, focus views to the woods beyond. They also have a really nicely manicured courtyard space there. So really trying to create space and use the existing natural resources that we have on these sites, which are really, really beautiful. The architecture is really important, I think, for this campus as well as for the expansion. We're trying to create a campus-like atmosphere. So you're going to see in the next few slides how the new buildings really reflect the old buildings, and it's all part of just one kind of holistic campus-like feel. This next one, these are now going to be some of the 3D images that we've created. Showcasing this project. And again, you know, we're about through schematic design just because we needed to get that far with our OPD application, as well as communicating to both contractors and Oaknall and their board members, you know, what does this project start to look like? So you can see, again, those kind of angle, the buildings with the angle in them, those are mimicking like the identical apartments that we have in Oaknall East Phase 1. Steve's got a waiting list. Oaknall has a waiting list of over 100 people just for specifically Oaknall East campus. So we're trying to add more independent living units. But as a campus, we're also adding assisted living units and skilled nursing units. So it becomes, you know, it has that full continuum of care that Oaknall's really proud of and that they do on their west side campus. The in-between spaces then, both in the inside and exterior, all become, you know, the amenities for the campus. And again, Phase one has internal lawn, dog park, and some smaller amenity spaces, but this then really adds to all the different activities and things like that that can happen at Oaknell East. I think go ahead and go to the next slide. You can start to see that topography. You can see the three-story building kind of at the back, and then these lawns kind of slope towards Scott Boulevard and then continue to slope down. So that's where you're seeing, this is the face that's showcasing that maximum height that we're requesting, just so we can keep that building kind of perched on top and pushed back into the site and really kind of preserve that lawn in front on Scott Boulevard. This is a really good view where you can start to see those different courtyard activities. The one on the right-hand side of the screen, there's a large dog park. There's a small putting green. The lower level of the middle building is a swimming pool, wellness center, fitness center. And so there's some larger overhead doors that kind of spill out into that lawn so they can take advantage of both indoor and outdoor exercise activities. And then on the left-hand side, that's more of a community-oriented courtyard where there's a events lawn. It ties into their dining and community room spaces, so those activities can flow very naturally inside and out. And then there's community gardens at the end of that with a small greenhouse, thinking, you know, that's then that opportunity to really gauge all the residents with exterior gardening and other activities. Any questions about the height while we're here? I mean, I think this, as I heard you guys talking about it, geez, I keep hitting this thing. Just talking about the site, and I think these renderings kind of showcase how the site is working.
So, Mark, in that rendering, the trees in the foreground are like right along Scott?
Yeah, Scott Boulevard is just below there.
Is it pretty sloped from that kind of pedestrian walkway you're showing?
And so that's part of that path system that goes all the way around and throughout the site and connects it to phase one.
Just a quick question, if I can interject, just on this rendering. Is that space, I know that the existing campus has like a very natural prairie feel. Is there intention to kind of bring any of that over here into that space? Just out of curiosity.
It's part of the debate. Okay. I think we're just looking at, you know, is that enough prairie? Do the residents want the prairie? Is it all partial? Yeah, okay. I think that's still kind of up in the air. You can see at the front there is a little more naturalized where it's a little bit more green on the west side of that sidewalk. Those are all bioretention swales. So, I mean, that's going to be very lush, just like we did at Oaknell East main campus, kind of within that courtyard space. Good. The next slide. This is North Dubuque Road. So this is where the vehicular entrances are. You can see the one closer to the intersection. You know, that's the intersection with the scooters on it and the fire station. So that first intersection that goes into kind of the Port Cochere and entry drop-off point, that's more for the skilled and assisted living entryway. And then really the main entrance is further down North Dubuque Road, and that's where the majority of the parking is. That's where access to the underbuilding parking is, and that's really where the main entry is. Again, this face has got the three stories, and then it's the lower level where you're entering in, and that's where wellness and a lot of the community functions kind of begin. But you can also see, you know, these are all the existing trees that we're trying to maintain. This is where that wetland area is that's kind of failing now. It'll be brought back as a huge natural resource. You know, we're really excited about the views that creates for the development. Okay. Again, this is just kind of highlighting the building's architecture, you know, how we're really tying in with what's happening on the main campus. You can again start to see that grade change that's happening down along the building. But it's meant to really mimic phase one. Go ahead. This is more kind of focusing in on the individual courtyards. This is the one I was discussing with the dog park area. There's kind of a larger area for exercising. There's kind of a relief area up nearer to the building. Down in the corner of that center building, you can see chairs and tables. There's putting green, and then those are the windows that enter into that swimming pool area. This is showcasing the community courtyard area and community gardens. Including a small greenhouse. The building, the portion of the building all the way at the back is the large community room, which the existing campus on the east side doesn't have, and a larger dining room to help accommodate for the additional residents. This is another shot from kind of right outside that dining room where, you know, we're looking at festoon lighting, smaller scale areas for people to gather as well as to have events. And then this is that main entry off of North Dubuque Road to the skilled and assisted living areas. I think the next image is just a couple quick shots inside, you know, looking at that main dining room entrance, lounge space. You know, there's just lots of those types of areas for gathering on the inside as well as the outside. And then the final image is just the swimming pool and how that kind of engages with the site down on that south side. Any questions about any of the imagery or the project or anything? Make sure I've got it. It's 82 independent living units. It's 37 assisted living units, and then there'll be 14 skilled nursing beds. Again, it's just the same building forms and materials and all of that, that we're just trying to create a campus that's kind of connected through natural paths as well as, you know, kind of through vehicular traffic, probably either out on Scott or potentially through the school district's lot. We're kind of working with them on that now.
I have like a bigger project question about the overall development, not necessarily just this development, but with the intersection of North Dubuque and Scott, mm-hmm. and it has the kind of this split and then that pedestrian mm-hmm. walkway, is there any significant changes to that intersection? Like North Dubuque's going to widen or is going to remain the same width or anything that you know that's coming with that?
Yeah, when we went through the traffic study, there was really... nothing we could do to impact that intersection would make any difference. Although in the bigger, broader sense, that ACT drive, you know, that's going to be the new connection on North Dodge. That'll be another entryway into the ACT campus that'll help hopefully lighten that load for people kind of entering campus. Okay. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Real quick.
Hi, I'm Steve Rowe. I'm CEO at Oak Knoll, and I just want to talk a little bit about the time frame that we're trying to make this happen within. So we purchased the property in April of this year. We are currently working with Nicolet Bank and Hills Bank on being the primary lenders for the construction loan and permanent financing. We hope to have the financing in place by, I would say, mid-fall. As soon as we have a commitment related to the financing, we will be in front of our waitlist household and start to actually market the project. Assuming we can find matches for the spaces that we intend to build, we would hope to close on financing then sometime this winter and start construction in the spring of 27. Hodge Construction will be the builder. They built the original Oak Knoll East campus, and we believe that it will be a 2 to 2.5 year construction cycle. So construction starting spring of 27, working through spring to summer of 29, and then having a building that people will start to occupy. I'd be happy to answer any questions that I can for you.
Any questions for... All right. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.
So open for public. Oh, come on up.
I just remembered the question about the previous reef rezoning that we did a few years ago. That was into the wooded ravine on the southeast corner of the current East Campus. That project kind of died on the vine because it was too expensive to build.
Thanks.
Hey, everyone. Nick Katz, civil engineer with Shive Hattery. Really good job on the report. I did want to clarify two things that I believe are very correct on the staff recommendations, but to follow up, North Dubuque Road will have some marginal curb and gutter and pavement work done with it as a part of the subdivision's infrastructure projects. Project. And then regarding some of the discussion prior to this slide, this particular property is not going to be subdivided. It's a part of a larger subdivision for the 100 acres of the Kestrel Hills final plat. But the three existing parcels that make up this project area will be combined, not subdivided. So just wanted to make sure that that was clear. Mm-hmm. So
okay. You don't mind, Nick, can I put your name down?
Yeah, you bet.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Okay, open for public comment. Anybody here to comment on the project? Comment once, comment twice. All right, public comment closed. Open to the commission. Do we have a
motion to approve and then you discuss, right?
Yep.
I move. Second? Move to approve.
Second.
All right. Open to discussion.
I think it's a really great project. I think I've been a big fan of the existing Oaknell East. I think it ties in really well, particularly in the preservation of that kind of prairie landscape that exists along Scott Boulevard. I appreciate kind of that campus feel, and I think it'll be a great addition. So I fully support the project. Yeah.
I guess I'd also like to say that Oaknell has a history of keeping their buildings and their landscaping beautiful on the other side of town, the old buildings. I've been in the new ones. They're great also. So I think it's a great use of that land.
Anybody else?
I agree. I'm supportive.
I'll also say, you know, it's I talked about it a while ago when Mike was on the team. Mm-hmm. You know, it's good to see additional resources come available for the assisted and skilled nursing. You see it as a challenge in our community based on the size and age of the community. So even though it's a few years off, good to see additional opportunity come on board. So with that, roll call. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? Okay, unanimous. Oh, nice. Minus Maggie.
I'll go grab her.
Okay, thank you. Maggie, second for everything.
Excuse me.
Leading up to consideration of meeting minutes.
Do we have a motion for approval?
Make a motion to approve the minutes.
Atkins. And second from Townsend. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Is there any planning and zoning information, Ann?
I wanted to mention that the landmark rezonings for the property, the Foxhead and the three buildings to the north was approved by City Council, and the final plat for the first phase of South Village near Weatherby Park was also approved. So hopefully they'll start infrastructure soon and see some activity in that part of the city. We are, in terms of the comprehensive plan update, we are going to be having some events in September. The first one will be September 19th to share the draft with the community. And we have not, we're working with our communication staff on getting information out on the dates and times and the various events, and that should be coming forward soon.
Can commissioners attend that? Is there any open meeting rules?
I think it's fine since they are noticed publicly.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't think there's issues with quorum.
Okay.
Will that same information be presented here, or should we attend one of those?
We will eventually be presenting, doing more formal presentations to the commission. We're doing just some different pop-up events and open house type events in addition to the normal public hearing process. So these events are, we're, I guess just to give you a little bit more information, three of the pop-up events are existing events that are happening that we are participating with, like essentially having a booth. One is the Farmers Market, Latino Fest, and the Wonderful West Side Neighborhood Association is also having an event that we're participating in. And then we're holding two open houses. And the purpose of these is to kind of present some information, present some draft materials, and to get some additional feedback from the community.
Thank you. Go ahead, Chad.
Can I ask a question? Listening to City Council last night, it came up concerning budget and budget challenges and the comprehensive plan and everything with that. Based on our last meeting as well, we talked about growth in the community, and we've been rather slow on number of permits and our growth meeting our resident needs. So has there been, even with the comprehensive plan change, like any changes as a result of that are probably going to take time to kind of work through the system and so on. Is there anything as the commission that we should be aware of or looking at meanwhile? Because it seems like we're going to have to accelerate meeting the needs of both the community and funding. And I just don't want to feel like we're kind of just waiting for the comp plan, if there's something that we could get a head start on or be considered a million-dollar question.
Yeah, that's what could the commission be doing specifically? I don't know if I really have an answer for that. I think the real issue that we talked about at the last meeting was just the lack of development, especially as it relates to housing. And that's there's no easy fix for that, right? We're looking at changes to land use policy, things that planning staff kind of oversees and can make changes to policy and eventually regulation, which could help development activity. But that's not the only thing that's impacting kind of the lack of the development that we're seeing here. So I don't know. I think when the comprehensive plan is released, spending time going over it, thinking about proposed changes in policies, if more changes need to be made, what your concerns are, where we're going too far, where we're not going far enough. I guess during your review of the comp plan, even before it's on an agenda, it will be out there and you can take a look at it.
Because even the TIF policy changes might present a new dynamic or new challenges as well. So.
Yeah, and that is not something that's overseen by urban planning. So things like the budget, TIF policy, those are things that aren't in my team's purview. But we do have an economic development element of the comprehensive plan, which we've been working with the city manager's office on.
Thanks.
What about the parking study? I know we've kind of talked about
Yeah.
There was some launch of, I think, a public something or other.
We should have the report released publicly soon.
Okay.
We did have a meeting with the steering committee where we presented the data collection and the recommendations. And now we're working on what we're calling a zoning code playbook, where we're thinking more about some changes that we should make to the zoning code. And obviously that will come before you all.
Would the zoning code playbook, like, is that specifically in relation to parking?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have a question. We sit here month after month and approve different projects. Is there any way we can get maybe a report of those that have been approved and those that have been approved and not acted on?
Yeah, I think what through this planning and zoning information item on your agenda, I let you know when the applications that came before you were approved by council. If you want a list of building permits issued, you can go to our website, and that's available.
That's the reason I asked, like the project at Oakdale, at Oak Knoll,
yeah,
that where they were supposed to build the additional mm-hmm. unit, and then because of the expense, they didn't. Should we know about those kinds of things?
You know, I think you know as much as me.
Okay.
You know that they're not building it, and that's all I know, too. You know, I don't know why they're not moving forward with it necessarily.
I think it was too expensive.
That we know that now, right? But before that, no, yeah.
And the other one is, am I remembering incorrectly? Wasn't there supposed to be a senior complex part of the Hickory Hill project?
That's constructed.
That is done.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep.
They're so close and proximity.
Right.
That's fine.
Can I ask one last question? Sorry. Orchard Court.
Yes.
Is that going to come to P&Z, or is everything already, is the framework already there? I think it's already been rezoned.
It's been rezoned, and I think there was a request for funding that was on the council agenda last night. So all of the approvals will just be, like, all of the development approvals besides any development agreement related to that money, that will just be worked through with city council and staff, and then all the site plan, the building permits, design review, that's all staff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks. Jen, what were you talking about?
It's the Orchard Court. We did a rezoning on it roughly a year and a half ago, maybe.
It's been a while.
Right there where the come and go is at, behind
okay.
that.
Okay. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Any further questions? Okay, we can. Let's move to adjourn.
Second.
Who was first?
I don't know.
I don't think I can be.
I think you were. He thought you were. So
can I be first?
I'll move. I'll move to adjourn.
You're first. Davies.
I'll second.
Wait a second. We're adjourned. Enjoy this beautiful evening.
Oh, thank you.
All right.